Another legislative session and another year of debating how to handle the bear populations in our state. This year's, I'm going to call it bear bill, if you want to call it that, is now on the Senate floor. Senate Bill 146, an act concerning the protection of crops and livestock from certain wildlife. And I want to understand what this version of bear legislation in Connecticut looks like and what would it mean for homeowners, but specifically farmers in our state. Joining us now is Annie Hornish, who is the Connecticut State Director for the Humane World for Animals. And Annie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Talk to us a little bit about Senate Bill 146. What exactly does it entail?
Sure. We're in strong opposition to Senate Bill 146. We believe it is a bear trophy hunt in disguise. What this bill would do, currently, farmers can get permits issued by DEEP to kill bears that are doing damage to crops and livestock, but they first need to try non-lethal management first. They have to make efforts at solving the problem in a way that is backed by science, which is the non-lethal methods. This bill would remove the requirement that non-lethal efforts be made prior to applying for a permit to kill bears, and specifically bears doing damage to crops. And so, this is very problematic because it does is create endless killing cycles since the food attractant is not removed.
Okay, yeah, and I want to go into something you just said before, Annie, which is non-lethal methods. Excuse me. What are non-lethal methods that farmers could currently use and see a success rate of bears avoiding their crops?
Sure. That's a very good question. The issue specifically, and this seems to be a concern for one farmer, we believe in North Canaan, Connecticut, with sweet corn being the crop that is being damaged. An answer there could be electric fencing. It could be donkeys or dogs or Karelian bear dogs that are trained to deter bears from a certain area. So that's there are non-lethal methods. Electric fencing is highly effective at preventing wildlife damage, and the cost isn't as high as people think it is. It could cost, for example, for 45 acres or so, if you get a solar fence, energizer, those are $200 or so, like 1.5 joule system. The wire would cost for like, say, 3,500 feet, $45 for that. Someone may need to buy grounding rods at $75, and they may or may not need posts, which could add $100+ to the cost. But the bottom line is like 45 acres would cost about $2,100. And farmers testified this year at the hearing that it's about $6,000 an acre they can earn for sweet corn. And if you take that $2,100 and divide it by 45 acres, that comes to $47 per acre, which is less than 1% of the revenue per acre. And that's only for the first year. After the first year, that electric fence is paid for. So
cost doesn't seem to be the big thing with, doing a lot. Because that was absolutely going to be my next question, which was, I know farmers already have the finances kind of stacked against them, just with the industry, but in general, also what's going on with today's world and how expensive things are. But the cost of the fencing is not really a viable reason to allow for this to go forward, it sounds like, from your standpoint and even farmer standpoint.
Yes.
What would be the pushback then? If cost is not the issue, what would be, why, I guess, would supporters be behind having this? Especially because you're talking about only farmers really getting, if you want to call it this chance, or I don't know what the word would be, to eliminate bears in a lethal method. Because it's not like this is going to be a bear hunt for all. It seems like this is really just specific to farmers. Why would there be support behind this if there's kind of an inexpensive way to handle it and non-lethal?
Yes, that's a good question. And if we look at some of the numbers, in 2024, there were 15 bears total killed by farmers after getting permits by DEEP. 11 of those bears were in North Canaan. 3 were in Cornwall and 1 was in Canaan. In 2025, DEEP testified this year that in 2025, there were 13 bears in total killed by farmers. And 10, we have a witness that can attest that 10 or more bears were killed by one farmer in North Canaan. So it seems like there's an area in North Canaan that has a farmer who is doing a lot of killing of these bears. And that's relevant for a couple of reasons. One, it actually lends evidence to what we already know, which is that hunting is not the solution to human-bear conflicts. It doesn't work. And secondly, a claim made last year by the pro-hunting lobby, pro-trophy hunting lobby, they were saying that hunting somehow trains bears to stay away from areas. And this absolutely proves it does not. And we don't know what's happening here. DEEP should be investigating why this farmer, why is there this farmer killing so many bears? It begs the question of whether he's baiting the bears, in which case that would be someone potentially inviting people who want to shoot bears onto their property to shoot bears, and that would be baiting, and that would be a trophy hunt in disguise.
We're talking about the bears here in Connecticut, and year after year during a legislative session, there are always talks about how to handle our bear populations, and this year is no exception. There's actually a Senate Bill 146, an act concerning the protection of crops and livestock from certain wildlife, that is currently on the Senate floor being debated. And we have people who are for versions of bear hunts and people who are not, including Annie Hornish, who is the Connecticut State Director for the Humane World for Animals. And it sounds like, Annie, even farmers to some degree also agree that there are non-lethal ways we can handle bear populations versus just taking them out, essentially. One thing that I've heard from, you know, both sides of the arguments on this, and DEEP in particular last legislative session kept noting that we're seeing more and more bear encounters happening in Connecticut that become troubling. Just this year alone, over 1,000 bear sightings have been reported. And of course, you know, things are probably underreported, but being spotted in more than 100 towns across Connecticut, obviously coming out of hibernation, searching for food. And we'll talk about the food element in just a second. But DEEP has said most New England states already have controlled bear hunts in place, except for Connecticut, obviously, and Rhode Island. I'm curious if you feel like other states that are operating and handling growing bear populations that have bear hunts in place, do you think it's abusive? Do you think that the laws have really badly impacted bear populations? Or what are your thoughts when that argument comes up?
Yeah, in states that allow for bear hunting, that hunting is done for sport purposes, not to manage human-bear conflicts. On that issue, that's a really good question, because there's an assumption and propaganda, frankly, going around that hunting is a means to reduce human-bear conflict. That is not true. There was a large conference this year in Montana that I attended, and DEEP actually sent 4 people to this conference. It was a conference of a lot of state agencies and people trying to manage human-bear conflicts. None of them, and this was, you know, over 20 countries were represented at this conference. It's done every 3 years, and none of them mentioned hunting as a means to reduce conflict. None. It's strictly for sport. It's a separate issue, separate lane altogether. When we're talking conflicts, human-bear conflicts, the issue has to be surrounding removal of food attractants, mostly garbage. Bears like to get into human garbage and bird feeders. And once that is under control, you know, this is a people problem, not a bear problem. Once people learn how to act, especially in the spring and in the fall when the bears are fattening up, that's when we can mitigate the bear conflicts. And farmers, they know, this is one farmer that's a problem. This is not the bulk of the farmers here in Connecticut. They've been managing this just fine. So that's something that this is not a widespread problem amongst farmers in Connecticut.
I do know, and I can't speak for the New England states per se, but I do know there are states that have said, you know, much like it sounds like Connecticut, I think is whenever I've heard about bear hunts, potentially, it's always come as it seems like human bear conflict is being the reason. I've never really heard it from a standpoint of sport. Now, of course, I haven't spoken to everybody who supports this kind of legislation, but I know, you know, states like New Jersey and Pennsylvania, they've said, their wildlife agencies have said this was strictly done for human bear conflict. Again, I can't speak for the sport aspect of it, but I would imagine in some regard, it is justified as a wildlife management tool, but you'd have to see it as well that some people are going to use that for like a regulated sport hunt, right? I mean, I think yes. even if we were to say that this is going to be, you know, tackling human bear conflicts and reducing it, that may be the reason behind it. But, you know, to have, I would say, even controls in place to make sure people don't abuse it, I don't know if this legislation has that.
It does not. It actually, it goes in the opposite direction. The current language, it doesn't even contain a threshold definition of what constitutes significant enough damage to warrant a permit to kill. So this bill it's almost like a free pass for a farmer to have someone come onto the property and shoot bears. And that's why we call it a trophy hunt in disguise. There's also an element that says if a farmer sees a bear that did damage the prior year, they can kill that bear. And the big question is, how do you know? And like what, it's rare that a bear will have a very unique identifying, you know, physical trait that a farmer can absolutely know that's the same bear. And, you know, we also run into the problem of orphaned bears because when a person shoots a bear, usually the babies are not around, and oftentimes not around that bear. If the mother is nervous, she'll tell, you know, make the babies go up a tree, the cubs. And then if that bear is shot, those cubs, if they're too young, they will die. And so that's another whole issue that has to be considered and should be considered.
You know what I think is interesting as well, Annie, is I was thinking about how, at least in this seat that I've had the privilege of sitting in for 7 years for Melissa in the Morning, I've heard about bear hunts coming up in probably the last several years, give or take, in legislative sessions. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm off in saying this comment. But what I think is fascinating is there's been such conversation around this, really, I would say, since the pandemic. And again, I might be wrong in that. But if people really look it up, bear populations actually in New England, not even looking at the whole country, but here in New England, have actually been growing for about 40 or 50 years. It's been decades that mm-hmm. we've really seen an increase in these bear populations, you know, really, I'd say like the 1970s. And so I think it's fascinating that, yes, I'm always a person who likes to be proactive, not reactive. You know, hey, we had a horrible mm-hmm. encounter, so now we have to react and we have to put a bear hunt in place. My bigger thing is kind of something that you've talked about, which is what's driving the increase. And yes, New England's doing a really good job of kind of getting their forestry together and all of that. But you have to also look at the easy food sources. And I think, you know, especially during the pandemic, I mean, what was one of the number one things Connecticut residents were doing? We're in isolation and we're bird watching. And so I know for my parents, for example, mm-hmm. who live in Fairfield, they had maybe one bird feeder. Now they've got a lot. And now they've got, you know, mm-hmm. even hummingbird feeders, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, I think we've had more and more, which is, again, it's not a bad thing. But I think there needs to be kind of human responsibility that is at least also part of this conversation, which I'm not really seeing in this bill currently, where you're talking about also people following that, I don't want to say mandate, but those directions to eliminate bears or at least combat bears coming onto your property.
That's precisely correct. Garbage and bird feeders would eliminate over 90% of the problems. And people just need to, it doesn't need to be year round. It just has to be from early spring till fall. And I know people love to watch their birds, but they have to realize, you know, it does, bears are attracted to that. It's an easy food source. So one thing I'd like to mention about the population of bears, we don't know the population. We do know that people are reporting sightings, and that is largely due to a very vigorous effort by DEEP to have people report sightings. And I know I used to live in Granby, and Deep actually had a sign within the McLean Game Refuge telling people to report bear sightings. This is within an area where bears ought to be. So they have been, instead of efforts at public education, you know, they're doing it now. They're starting finally to educate the public about how to reduce human bear conflicts. But in the past, they were really pushing for a trophy hunting season, and it wasn't going anywhere. And so they shifted gears and they started having people report sightings, and people do. But you have to remember, one bear walking through, say, an Avon neighborhood is going to get many, many calls. And that what Deep did, I believe, is they conflated the sightings to infer that the population is skyrocketing. And the fact of the matter is we don't know what the population is. We have to do a proper scientific study. And the last one was done way back in 2014. So we know maybe conflicts, maybe they're reporting more conflicts, but it's not necessarily reflective of the population.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to take into account as well the impact of social media. It's funny because I can remember in the early 2010s when I was working at News 12. I was a reporter at News 12 Connecticut. And I remember when you would get those random emails, you're talking circa 2012, 2013, around that area. When you'd get the emails of somebody who spotted a bear or a coyote, and we would put it up. And again, you're talking about a decade ago, a little more than that, where you would put it up on the screen and, oh my gosh, look who we saw in this neighborhood. And it was kind of just a break of the news to just bring attention to, oh, how interesting that we saw wildlife in this neighborhood. Even the way that we report bear and coyote sightings is very different than how we did even a decade ago. And I think the emergence of social media and just how quickly we can get information out there, and honestly, even in some regard, mixed messaging that can get out there, the narrative has changed. I could tell you that just from a journalistic standpoint, it has changed substantially how we look at bears. And I think that has something to do with also why we're seeing so many efforts year after year to potentially put a bear hunt in place. So this this piece of legislation, which I am going to add to your podcast, Annie, on our website, voiceofct.com, for people to read, it is now on the Senate floor. I don't know if it's up for a vote this week. Do you know?
Yeah, we're not sure. It could be. Okay. The Senate is in tomorrow and Wednesday. It could be called as early as then.
Okay.
Session ends May 6th, probably around midnight, if prior years are an indication. But that's the end of session. When that ends, then the session's over till next January.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on this. I know that you are as well. And certainly, as I mentioned, for people who want more information, I'm going to attach it to Annie's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Annie Hornish, thank you so much. Always appreciate getting your perspective. Connecticut State Director for the Humane World for Animals. And we certainly will track this piece of legislation for all of you at home.